Imagine waking up to discover that superheroes are real, and they've become humanity's greatest nightmare. This is the reality David Charleston faces in Steelheart's world, where an unexplained celestial phenomenon called Calamity transformed ordinary humans into godlike beings called Epics. But these aren't the noble protectors of comic books. Power has corrupted them absolutely. 10 years ago, 8-year-old David witnessed something impossible, the invincible Epic Steelheart bleeding from a bullet wound. In the chaos that followed, Steelheart murdered David's father and transformed Chicago into Newkago, a metropolis of steel shrouded in perpetual darkness. While most citizens submit to Steelheart's tyrannical rule, David nurtures a dangerous obsession, finding the weakness that made Steelheart bleed and using it to kill him. In a world where resistance means death, David's quest for vengeance might be humanity's last hope. Newkago exists in perpetual midnight, its buildings, streets, and soil transformed into solid steel by Steelheart's power. Above ground, massive steel towers bear his insignia while enforcement officers patrol in mechanized suits. Below, in understreets carved by epic diggers, ordinary humans have built a semblance of normal life, growing food under artificial lights and trading in makeshift markets. Despite the oppression, Newkago attracts refugees from across the former United States. Other cities have become radioactive wastelands or battlegrounds for warring epics, making Steelheart's brutal stability preferable. His system provides basic necessities, food, water, electricity, all carefully controlled to maintain dependency. The social hierarchy is rigid. High epics at the top, Steelheart, Nightwielder, Firefight, human collaborators in the middle, and ordinary citizens at the bottom. The Education Division rewrites history, portraying epics as humanity's natural rulers, while public executions remind citizens of epic power. Yet whispers persist of the Reckoners, ordinary humans who somehow manage to kill seemingly invincible epics. For 10 years, David has lived to find the Reckoners and kill Steelheart. While working at a weapons factory by day, his nights are devoted to researching epics, documenting their powers and weaknesses in hidden notebooks. His apartment walls are covered with maps tracking epic movements and Reckoner sightings. This obsession isn't madness, but salvation, the only thing keeping despair at bay. His chance comes when he spots Fortuity, a precognitive high epic being targeted by the Reckoners. Recognizing their trap, a woman in red luring the epic away from his guards, David jumps in when another epic threatens their operation. His impulsive action forces him to prove his worth or face elimination. In the chaos, David showcases his epic knowledge by taking down 3 enforcement officers to save Megan. As the Reckoners prepare to leave him behind, he reveals his trump card. "I've seen Steelheart bleed." This statement stops them cold. With David's research, the impossible might become possible. How does a small group of humans hunt beings with godlike abilities? The Reckoner's arsenal includes technological marvels that level the playing field. Most impressive are tensors, specialized gloves that turn dense materials like steel to dust while leaving living tissue unharmed. These devices allow them to cut through Steelheart City, creating hidden passages invisible to enforcement. Their equipment includes protective jackets generating force fields, healing devices called Harmsway, and advanced imaging technology for planning operations. Most innovations come from Prof. Jonathan Phaedrus, the Reckoner's founder. Beyond technology, their greatest weapon is information. Every epic has a weakness that neutralizes their abilities, and discovering these vulnerabilities is crucial. They study targets for months before striking, employing elaborate deceptions, precise timing, and multiple contingency plans. David contributes his research, including Nightwielder's vulnerability to ultraviolet light and evidence suggesting Firefight might be an illusion created by another epic. His notebooks prove invaluable, but the question remains, what makes Steelheart bleed? the answer proves more elusive and surprising than anyone imagined. What transforms ordinary people into monsters when they gain powers? Every epic, without exception, becomes cruel and tyrannical after embracing their abilities. Some resist longer than others, but all eventually succumb to darkness. The corruption manifests uniquely in each epic. Some become sadistic, others develop paranoid delusions or god complexes. What unites them is the belief that power grants them the right to dominate. Their behavior grows increasingly erratic, suggesting progressive mental deterioration. Yet, humanity occasionally shines through. In moments of vulnerability or when powers are temporarily neutralized, some epics show flashes of their former selves. Regret, confusion, even horror at what they've become. These moments suggest the original person might still exist beneath the corruption. This possibility reshapes David's perspective. If powers corrupt rather than people themselves, perhaps calamity itself is the true enemy. When David discovers that Prof is an epic who resists corruption by channeling powers through devices, the line between human and epic blurs. This raises a profound question. Is assassination always the answer, or might some epics become allies? The mission to kill Steelheart grows complicated as alliances shift. David develops feelings for Megan, initially his opponent on the team, as their relationship evolves from suspicion to respect to something deeper, despite her skepticism about their mission. The complexity peaks when David discovers Megan is actually Firefight, an epic infiltrating the Reckoners. This revelation that he's fallen for one of the beings he's sworn to destroy challenges his worldview. Yet Megan seems torn between her epic nature and human connections, repeatedly using her powers to help the team escape. Edmund's sense, Conflux, presents another contradiction. An epic whose electricity-generating power is harvested against his will to power New Kago. Unlike other epics, Edmund shows only fear and resignation, challenging David's belief that all epics are monsters by choice. Even Prof harbors a shocking secret. He's an epic who channels his abilities through devices others can use. These revelations force David to reconsider. If some epics can resist corruption, perhaps killing them all isn't the answer. After meticulous preparation, the Reckoners lure Steelheart to an abandoned stadium. Their plan includes UV lights to neutralize Nightwielder, explosive charges beneath the field, and Prof posing as a rival epic to draw Steelheart's attention. The battle devastates the stadium as Prof and Steelheart exchange superhuman blows. When all seems lost, David confronts Steelheart with his father's gun. The bullets bounce off harmlessly, and Steelheart recognizes David as the child from the bank. David finally understands Steelheart's weakness. He can only be harmed by someone who doesn't fear him. His father had accidentally hit Steelheart while aiming at another epic. It wasn't the weapon, but the lack of intent that penetrated his invulnerability. David lodges his detonator pen in the gun barrel. When Steelheart takes the weapon and pulls the trigger, he detonates the explosives beneath them, dying by his own hand. As sunlight breaks through New Kago's darkness for the first time in a decade, David realizes his mission transcended vengeance. It fulfilled his father's belief that ordinary people could help the heroes along. Perhaps humanity's role is helping epics overcome corruption rather than destroying them. The true enemy isn't power itself, but what power does to those who wield it without compassion.